Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin. So glad that you're joining us today. And it's a new year, and 2020 is called the year of the Roaring Twenties, or the decade of the Roaring Twenties. And I'm really glad that you are joining us today. Hope that you're taking the challenge to read Charles Spurgeon Morning and Evening Devotional. And at the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of that free. But we've been going through a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I've been calling these kind of Christian smoothies, and how we mix these fruit of the Spirits together. And as a result of mixing them together, we are living an abundant Christian life, and we are being a blessing to so many other people. And when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, this is a gift that is given to us. We can't earn these gifts. It is given to us, and God wants us to develop those. And so we began by talking about the fruit of the Spirit of love. Today we want to go to the second fruit, which is joy. And somebody said this about spreading joy and smiling at people. Smiling is the most infectious, healthy disease. Smiling is infectious. You catch it like you catch the flu. When somebody smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I passed around the corner and someone saw my grin. And when he smiled, I realized I'd passed it on to him. I thought about that smile, then realized its worth. A single smile just like mine could travel around the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let it start an epidemic quick and get the whole world infected. So I hope that's a blessing to you this morning as we think about smiling and we think about joy. And I want you to know, who are the most joyful people in the world? I would say the most joyful people in the world are those who are involved in serving others and those who are involved in giving, being a generous person. We learn in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 25, we are told, Luke is writing and he says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" And we're talking today about joy and how we can have joy, the second fruit of the Spirit. And there's so much to understand when it comes to being a joyful person, but it's not difficult stuff. It's stuff that we probably know that we're not actually doing. You think about giving. A study was done and they discovered that 8 out of 10 people who give regularly to their churches have absolutely no credit card debt. So tithers, although they make up a small percentage of the church, generally between 10 and 25% of a normal congregation, they are the ones that are experiencing joy because they're generous and God is blessing them and keeping them out of debt. You know, about 10 million tithers in the United States alone donate $50 billion a year to their church and to their nonprofits. Historically, when you think about giving and as where we give our money, religious groups have received the largest share of charitable donations. When you look at the stats that we have, and this is going back to 2016, I know they're a couple years old, but as you think about giving, 31% of all donations, or $127.37 billion went to religious organizations. You know, God had this great idea of how he was going to fund his church, and he was going to do it through the tithes and the offerings of the people that were part of the church. When you think about volunteering your time, the top 4 volunteer areas in our world today of where people volunteer their time, 34% will volunteer their time in their church or their religious organization. 26% of the people will donate time to an educational group. 14.5% will dedicate some time to social services, and then 7% will give and donate their time to health organizations. When you think about giving, joyful people are those who are giving. And 49% of all church giving transactions are made with a card, a debit card or a credit card. 60% are willing to give digitally to their churches. And churches that accept giving online have discovered that their donations increased by 32%. When you think about joy, why is this the connection between giving and joy? Well, part of it is a learned trait. Giving is like a muscle. The more you use that muscle, the more you want to use that muscle, and you discover that you cannot outgive the Lord. We have a great opportunity to teach the generation coming up behind us of the importance of giving. I want to spend just a minute to give you the breakdown of who are the most generous people based upon their age. Now, millennials, we have a few millennials, I'm sure, listening to this broadcast. They were those who were born between 1982 and the year 2002. They are the ones who represent about 25% of the population in the United States. 40% of millennials will give if you have an opportunity for them to give on a rotating basis, on a giving basis. They also, 64% of them, volunteer locally, and so they're looking for opportunities. So this brings a lot of hope to me when we think about the younger generation coming up behind us. Generation X, the baby boomers, those who were born 1965 to 1981, are Generation X babies. They're 20% of the United States population, and 49% of Generation X donors are also involved in giving on a monthly basis, and the same percentage of them are also involved in volunteering on a regular basis. Then we have the baby boomers. That is a generation that is born 1946 to 1964, and this is the generation that represents about 23% of the United States population. And as you think about baby boomers, 49% of baby boomers will donate if they are given the opportunity, also on a monthly giving program. But look at this, 71% of baby boomers volunteer locally. Contrast that to the millennials and to Generation X, where it's 64%. And then we have what is called the greatest generation. Now, this is a generation that is getting older, and we have fewer and fewer people who are part of this great generation. Those who were born between 1922 and 1945, they now represent about 11% of the United States population. And as I say, this is the population that is passing away. I'm doing a funeral today of a man that is part of this greatest generation. This is 11% of the United States population, but check this out. 88% of this generation, the greatest generation, are actually involved in giving to charity. They will give on an annual basis at least $1,300. And as you think about this, not only are they giving generously, but they're also volunteering generously with their time. Over 80% of generation, this great generation, is part of giving of their time. So when we think about this, we can have joy as we're giving and as we are serving. And the more joy we have, the more we give, the more joy we will have. There is a happiness that we can feel as we are giving to somebody else. Giving your money to somebody else can actually lift up that happiness quotient that is within ourselves. When you think about the opportunity to do this, I want to give you some things that ought to really encourage you to be a joyful giver. First of all, when I give, I'm obeying God's command. I am giving back to Him, and I'm obeying what He's asked me to do. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." So when I give my heart to serve, God actually empowers me. And the more I serve Him, the more He empowers me. The more I give to Him, the more He gives back to me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that we should pray out of the glorious riches of God that He will strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So something happens on the inside of us when we follow God's command to be generous with our time and with our treasures. It actually produces joy within us. When I give, it also gives me the opportunity for God to enrich me. You see, you can't give something unless God has first given to you. And as you give it, God blesses you with more. Here's a second factor when we think about being generous with our giving and with our serving. I'm proving God is my Lord, that He is in control of my life. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, this is an interesting fact when you think about where your heart is. We don't follow your heart to find out where your heart is. You follow your treasure. I don't know if you get a lot of junk mail at your house, but I know I get a ton of junk mail in my house. As a matter of fact, they say the average American will receive about 34 pounds of junk mail every year. And you wonder, why do these companies deluge us with all of this junk mail? Well, they have discovered why we are responding to all this junk mail. They know the patterns that we are living in our lives, and they have a way of tracking our expenses. They know how we spend money with our credit card or how we use our checking account. And because of that, they track that, and then they send us junk mail according to what we buy. And so as you think about all this junk mail that you're getting, they have watched you and they have created a pattern of your giving or your spending rather, and they go and they say, I'm going to send you some things that will attract you. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Paraphrase, we could say, wherever we use our money, evidenced by the transactions that we make every week, where those transactions are made shows us where our heart is. So when I'm generous, I am filled with joy because I'm proving that God is my Lord. Here's a third point that I want to drive home today. As I give, I'm revealing God's character, realizing that God has given me every gift that I have. James 1:17 puts it this way, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, coming down through the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. You see, God always gives just the perfect gift. He's not changed that fact over the years. He knows exactly what we need, and he gives us exactly what we need. It's not like some of the Christmas gifts that you may have received this year at Christmas. Maybe you got something that you're wondering, why in the world did this person give me this? I don't need this. I don't want this. But they gave it to me anyway. Well, God never gives you a gift that you don't want. He will always give you a gift that is designed to bless you and designed to be used to bless others. Listen, when I'm a generous person, I'm also trusting God for his provisions. Ecclesiastes 11:1 is a powerful example of what God does when we give to him out of the provisions that he has given to us. It says, cast your bread upon the waters. It's take that bread, cast it on the water, give it back, and you will find it after many days. In other words, you give it and it comes back to you. Here's a sixth reason why we ought to be a generous people is because by being generous, I'm experiencing God's abundance. God has abundantly prospered us, and I'm experiencing that because I can give something back. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give an account as he has decided in his own heart. Give as you have already decided in your heart, not with reluctance. Don't delay that give. Don't hold it back or not under compulsion. Not feeling like I have to give, right? I used to think of, man, if I don't give my tithes to the Lord, my car is going to break down this week and he's going to get that money out of me one way or another. God doesn't work that way. God looks at us and he says, I want you to give not reluctantly, not under compulsion, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I give out of the joy that is welling up inside of me because I look at how many blessings God has given to me. So when I give generously and I give cheerfully, I am experiencing God's blessing and will enjoy much more of his abundance. Well, here's a seventh reason why we ought to be generous givers is because I'm actually advancing God's kingdom when I give. Now, I'm going to read a longer passage to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, going down to verse number 8. And Paul is writing and he says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. So Paul begins by saying, God has poured his grace upon the churches of Macedonia. And the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy, and even in their extreme poverty, welled up in them a rich generosity. You see, generosity has nothing to do with your bottom line. It has everything to do with understanding that God is giving you his grace. Paul says in verse number 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. Paul says, I didn't have to twist their arm. They were giving as much as they were able, and then they took it a step further and they gave a little bit more, not because we were forcing them or pleading of them to do that. He says in verse number 4 that they urgently pleaded with us for this privilege and sharing in the service to the Lord's people. They understood as they gave to the apostles, the gospel would be spread further and further and further. They actually, Paul says, exceeded our expectations. Here's how they did it. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Give yourself first to the Lord. And then by the will of God also gave to us. Now there's a sticking point there. I think many people have a hard time being generous in their giving because they haven't completely given themselves over to the Lord. They're hanging on to part of their life and they haven't given them 100%. When you get to that point, when you completely surrender yourself to Christ, then you will become a generous person. Paul says in verse number 6, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything else, he says, and this is written to us, I think, as modern believers, since we excel in everything, in faith and in speech and in knowledge and in complete earnestness and in love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the gift and the grace of giving. You see, giving not only promises and promotes God's work through us, but it also shows that God's work is in us and that we are becoming sanctified. Giving money, especially when it pains us, requires much self-denial and self-crucifixion. That's what sanctification is. It is the denial of ourselves for the benefit of becoming a holy person. As you think about the act of giving, as you give more, it breaks us of our sinfulness and our selfish desires. The more God's grace spreads in our hearts, the more money leaves our pockets. But sin also leaves our heart. And that's a great deal. That is something that is priceless to think of the fact that we are being eradicated of our sin because we're being a generous person who is involved in advancing God's kingdom. Well, here's the eighth reason why we ought to be a generous giver is because by being generous, I am actually growing in my own faith personally. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, remember our God and our Father and the work produced in you by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we learn that giving promotes God's word through us, but also God's work in us. We are to give generously as a reflection of what God is doing on the inside of our hearts. Number 9, when we think about being generous, I'm grateful for God's goodness when I'm a generous person. Psalm 116 verse 12 says, what shall I return to the Lord for all of his goodness to me? David is speaking and he says, what can I give back to the Lord for all the goodness that he has given to me? What can I give back to him? He has saved my life. I think about the lifeguard who saved my life many years ago. I was struck by lightning and he saved my life. He came along and did CPR and resuscitated me and got that heart pumping and got the blood flowing again and the lungs working again. What do I owe that guy? I owe him my life. God saved our soul. He saved us from eternal separation from God, and he forgave us of all of our sins. What do we owe him? We owe him our very life, our very soul, our very being. You see, when we're a generous person, we also are one who is filled with hope. I'm calling the year 2020 the year of hope. Some are calling the 20s the roaring 20s, but I'm calling this our time of hope when we think about what is happening in the future and the opportunities that God is laying before us. And in the Bible, we learn in Romans 15:13, and this is our theme verse for our church. Verse 13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace, and may he give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you may abound in hope. Listen, if you lose your hope, you're in a world of trouble. And here we see that Paul is praising the Lord, and he's reminding us that all of the saints should be praising the Lord. And then he goes back and he quotes Isaiah. In Isaiah, it says, the root of Jesse will come, and even he who arises to the rule of the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles put their hope. And that is giving us this promise that we experience today, that Christ has given us this hope. And Paul says, I pray that that hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. Paul says, you know, I'm satisfied about you, my brothers, in verse number 14, that you yourselves are filled with goodness, filled with all the knowledge, and able to instruct one another. So here is the challenge that I want to leave you with at the end of this broadcast today. Will you experience joy by giving to the Lord and by serving your church? As you listen to the broadcast, you're probably involved in a church somewhere. Would you be a blessing to your church by serving, not complaining, by giving and not griping? Be involved in serving your church. You will discover that the joy in you will actually increase. The happiest people at Hickory Ridge Community Church are those who are serving, those who are giving, and those who don't care who gets the credit. One great pastor says, it's amazing what we could accomplish if we don't care who gets the credit. You will have more joy in your life just by serving the Lord, realizing that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and God will use you in a powerful way. Man, maybe you're driving on the interstate, and as you're driving on the interstate, you're thinking about somebody who is maybe discouraged. Hey, why don't you spend just a minute and reach out to that person? Why don't you be a blessing to that individual? You'll discover that when you bless that person, you yourself get blessed in return. I want to encourage you to pray for one another. If we can pray for you every Thursday morning from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., we have a group of people pray. And if you'd like to put a prayer request into us, you can send me an email and I'll put it on the list for next Thursday. And it's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Send me a prayer request and we will pray for you. I get our prayer team praying for you. And then I email that out to another prayer team that we have in the church. And we will fervently pray for you. I want you to know that God answers prayer. We had a young lady that was missing in our community, and we prayed. You know, within 48 hours, that prayer was answered. And so we gathered on New Year's Eve, and we said, Lord, thank you for answering that prayer request. This young lady was lost, but now she was found, and she is safe. And we are so glad to report that God answers prayer. Well, this broadcast is just about over, but let me pray real quick for you. Lord, I pray for those who are zooming down the highway that you keep them safe. I pray that they will reach out and bless somebody today. And I pray that they realize that you have given them the spirit of generosity. So allow them to be generous in serving others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's word with you with Hope for Your Heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you. So feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.